Alrighty, guys. Well, let's open up in a word of prayer tonight. Father God, we come to you in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. And God, we thank you, as the song said, for your old rugged cross. Father God, we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, to this earth 2,000 years ago to die upon a cross for our sins so that we would not have to die in hell. And tonight we want to say thank you for that. For forgiving us of our sins, God. We thank you for the gift of eternal life. It's the greatest gift that any person can receive. And tonight we're just full of gratitude. We say thank you for the gift of eternal life. And thank you even for giving us new life today, new breath today. God, I just pray that you minister to our hearts tonight. That, Father God, these would be your words ministering to these hearts. Have your way in this place. Precious Holy Spirit, we give you the praise and the honor tonight in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Alrighty. Well, guys, we have been doing this series over the last several weeks on growing in God's love. And some of you may have been here at the last several services. Some of you may not have been. But just to do a recap of last week's sermon, okay? The series is Growing in God's Love. And last week we talked about the concept of neighbor and how Jesus defines who our neighbor is from Luke chapter 10. The neighbor is anybody in need of our help and mercy, whether he be in Tulsa or on the other side of the world, whether that person looks like us or is totally different than us. The neighbor is anyone in need of our help. People that we can reach out to with the love of God and touch them. People who are needier than us. And you know, when we do it for them, when we reach out to the needy with the love of God, we're doing it for Jesus himself. Amen? Amen. What did Jesus say? For as much as you've done it to the least of these, you have done it for me. So when you touch somebody with God's love who is in greater need than you, you are touching Jesus himself. Tonight, I want to talk about how to uproot feelings of unforgiveness and bitterness. And just about a month and a half ago, I spoke on practicing forgiveness. But tonight I want to give a couple of, at the end of the sermon, some practical how-tos on how to uproot feelings of bitterness, anger, and unforgiveness towards those who have offended you. You know, every day that we get up and go about our daily activities, we have interactions with other people, right? Every single day, nobody is an island unto himself. When you get up out of bed in the morning, you take your shower, you get ready for the day, you're going to interact with somebody. And in our daily interactions with people, people are going to say or do things that don't quite sit right with us. They may offend us in the things that they do and that they say. And you know what, friends? Let me mention this here tonight. If you allow a seed of unforgiveness to be planted in the soil of your heart, it can become a root of bitterness. And if that root of bitterness is unchecked, it can become a tree of hatred. And if hatred is unchecked, it can become physical murder. So tonight we have to decide to forgive those who have offended us. What is forgiveness? What does this word forgiveness mean? It means releasing a debt that somebody has against you. Whether it be a thing that they owe you, maybe they owe you some money, or maybe you even think, man, at least they owe me an apology. I can't believe they said that about me. That they told me my name is kind of funny. Or that I look like I'm a little heavier. I can't believe they said that and insulted me. They owe me at the least an apology. Guess what forgiveness is? It's releasing that person from owing you that debt. It's releasing them from owing you that money, releasing them from owing you that apology. You know, let me give you a story about something that happened to me about a year ago. A friend of mine came to me and said, Jonathan, let's go to Toronto, Canada. So I bought his airline ticket to fly out to Toronto, Canada. He said, let's go and check this church out there in Toronto, Canada. I said, all right, let's do it. He said, and by the way, could you cover my in-country expenses while we're there, like the housing and the food? I'll pay you back in about a month. I said, yeah, that's fine. I'll do that for you. Just, you know, make sure you pay me back in a month. Well, you know, we went on the trip, we visited the church, and I paid his in-country expenses. We came on back and, you know, expecting that maybe within a month I'd get paid of what I, you know, of what I lent him. Well, a month goes by and he doesn't pay me. So basically, he owes me this debt. 2 months go by, he doesn't pay me. 3 months go by, 4 months go by, 5 months go by, he doesn't pay me. I'm getting a little frustrated here. So I'm becoming a little unforgiving towards him, a little bitter, and it's like the seed of unforgiveness is being planted in the soil of my heart. I'm thinking, man, I'm a little upset here. So I kind of send him a reminder. I'm like, bro, you remember you owe me some money for the in-country expenses that I covered for you. I'll get it to you. So I started realizing on the inside of myself, my goodness, the seed of unforgiveness planted in the soil of my heart is starting to become a root of bitterness. And I thought to myself, you know what? I don't like the way I feel. I feel like a slave. So I was in prayer and I just sensed God telling me to release the debt. And so early this year, like around February, I communicated with him and said, bro, I said, well, you know what? I just feel on the inside. I prayed about it that I should just release you of this debt. And I released him of the debt that he owed me. Guess what I did when I released him of the debt? I uprooted that root of bitterness that started to grow on the inside. I put the knife to the root of bitterness. And you know what, friends? It's probably the same with you tonight. Maybe there's somebody out there that owes you something. Tonight, you've got to put the axe to the root. And how do you put the axe to the root? By releasing that person of the debt that they owe you. Now, let's talk about this. In the world, we hear about the phrase, it's a life or death situation. Let me give you this little scenario tonight, okay? Imagine, for most of the guys here, imagine you're 30 feet up on a house, on a really steep roof like this. 30 feet up there, you're re-roofing a house, okay? Well, think about that. You're up there, it's scary. If you're not well supported under your feet, if you make a wrong move, what can happen? You can slide off the roof and you can lose your life, right? That's a life or death situation. You agree tonight? Yeah. Well, guys, I'm here to tell you tonight that forgiveness is an eternal life or death situation. Forgiveness is an eternal life or an eternal death situation, because what is our salvation based upon? The forgiveness of God toward us for our sins, right? Concerning the work that Jesus did on the cross at Calvary 2,000 years ago. And by faith in Jesus, we are forgiven of our sins and we're guaranteed a place in heaven. Amen? Amen. So our salvation is based upon God's forgiveness toward us, right? You agree with that tonight? Let's look at this parable that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 18. It's a strong parable, but let's read it tonight, and I think we're really going to get something from it this evening. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 34. Matthew 18, 21 through 34. All right, here it is. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? I guess maybe he had forgiven seven times that day and he's like, man, this is getting tiring. But Jesus says, no, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. In other words, forgive your brother endlessly. Verse 23, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that happened. Then the master called the servant and, you wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should be paid back all that he was owed. Right here, in this parable, this king was owed 10,000 talents. Guess how much that was? Millions of dollars in today's standard of money. The other servant was owed 100 denarii, which is just like a few dollars. Now, in this parable, who does the king who was owed millions of dollars represent? He represents God the Father. Who does the servant who was owed just a few dollars represent? It represents us. It represents us. This servant was forgiven of a debt worth millions of dollars, and he turns around to somebody who owed him a few dollars and throws him in jail. That's terrible, isn't it? That's a terrible thing. You know, if we don't forgive, you know what a molehill is? How many people here know what a molehill is? It's a little animal that kind of burrows underneath the ground, and he makes like little hills, you know? And our sins against others, other sins against you are like little molehills, right? The sins that we committed against God were like mountains. And if we don't forgive the molehills of offenses that others have committed against us, then God won't forgive the mountains of sins we've committed against Him. And guess what? If that's the case, we're playing with fire. And if you play with fire, you might get burnt. And let me tell you, friends, tonight I'm preaching to myself. Because this is an area, this virtue of forgiveness is an area that God is perfecting in my life. And we all struggle with it. You agree tonight? Yeah. We all struggle with the issue of forgiveness. The offenses that others have committed against us are like a little molehill compared to the mountains of offenses we've committed against God. But God forgave us. Paul the Apostle writes in his epistles, forgive others just as God in Christ forgave you. And in the parable, we realize that when the servant who was owed a few dollars decided not to forgive the person who owed him a few dollars, then the king who was owed millions decided not to forgive him, right? Jesus said it in the Sermon on the Mount. What did Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer? What did he say? If you forgive men their offenses against you, your heavenly Father will forgive your offenses against Him. But if you do not forgive men their offenses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Friends, this issue of forgiveness is an eternal life and an eternal death situation. It's a life and death situation, eternally speaking. I just felt like I needed to stress the point to you tonight. What does the Word of God say in Ephesians 5:1? Be ye therefore imitators of God. You agree with that? All right. What is God? God is a forgiver. Right? God is a forgiver. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You agree? God has been a forgiver from ages past, eternity past, into eternity future. And He always will be a forgiver. He never changes, right? So if we're to be imitators of God, what does it mean to be imitators of God in this area? That means that we must walk in a spirit of forgiveness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Amen? You know, when you wake up in the morning and you look at yourself in the mirror, you've got to determine deep down in your heart that today, most likely, offenses will come into my life. Jesus said it in Luke 17. Offenses will come. So you wake up in the morning, getting yourself ready, grooming yourself, looking at yourself in the mirror. You say, you know what? Most likely, today, somebody will offend me. But in advance, I decide in my heart to forgive that person. Before I'm even offended today, that person is already forgiven. You agree? Romans 5:8, what does it say? But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. It's like God forgave us in advance. While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. So when you wake up in the morning, I strongly encourage you, looking at yourself in the mirror, you know what? Offenses are going to come today. It's likely if I interact with another person may offend me in what they say or do. It's most likely to happen. But I'm determining on the inside to forgive that person, to release them of the debt that they owe me in advance. I'm walking in a spirit of forgiveness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Okay. Let's talk about the physical immune system. You know what that is, right? On the inside of your body. It helps fight off what? Your physical immune system helps fight off viruses and germs, right? How do you keep your physical immune system strong? How do you do it? A couple of different ways. It's by a good exercise plan, right? Exercising, walking, running, maybe swimming, and a good diet. Right? Maybe your fruits and your vegetables, your protein, carbohydrates, your dairy products. You agree with that tonight? You keep your physical immune system strong with a healthy diet, right? Maybe not smoking all those cigarettes, not drinking, right? Keeping your physical immune system strong so that when a germ enters your body, what happens? It dies, right? You know, a person who's HIV positive has a weak immune system. So that when a germ or a bacteria enters his body, he's not able to fight it off as easily. It could cause him a lot of physical harm because he's got a weak physical immune system. Well, spiritually, it's kind of the same way. How do you keep your spiritual immune system strong?
Exercise.
Spiritual exercise. Exercising the virtue of forgiveness. Does that make sense? Amongst other practices, amongst other virtues like reading the Bible and praying and fellowshipping with other Christians, one of the things that we need to practice to keep ourselves spiritually strong is forgiveness. Because if you're not forgiving, if you're allowing that seed of unforgiveness to take a hold of the soil of your heart and it becomes a root of bitterness, guess what? You become weak spiritually and you're open to the enemy's demonic attacks. Let's look at James 3:16 for a moment here. Let's turn there for just a second. This is what James writes here in James 3, verse 16. All right. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. You know, unforgiveness is based in selfishness. So where you have envy and selfishness and unforgiveness, there you find disorder and every evil practice. If you're walking around angry at everybody every day, you're opening yourself up to the enemy's evil practices. You really do. Because you break down spiritually when you're bitter on the inside. You're not as strong to fight off the enemy's attacks. I can attest to this. Last year, back in July, I was really dealing with, and I still do today, guys. God is perfecting this area in my life. I am by no means there. But last year, back in July of 06, I was kind of dealing with some bitterness and unforgiveness towards certain people. And I felt myself breaking down spiritually, my spiritual immune system getting weak. And it was like I was walking in unforgiveness, walking in bitterness, and I opened myself up without knowing it to the enemy's attacks. And I found myself falling into a state of depression. severe depression. And when you get depressed, your mind gets weak. And the enemy tries to lie to you when you get depressed. So the word of encouragement to you guys tonight, to us tonight, is this. Let us walk in this spirit of forgiveness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so that spiritually we remain what? Strong against the enemy's attacks. Amen? You agree with that tonight?
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Now, what are some of the practical how-tos on uprooting feelings of unforgiveness and bitterness? Let's turn back to Matthew 18 for just a minute. Matthew 18. All right. If your brother sins against you, verse 15, verses 15 through 20. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. If he refuses even to listen to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if the two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. All right. So somebody offends you. What are some practical steps on overcoming this feeling of unforgiveness? Somebody offends you in something they say or do. Go to that person directly. The Bible says if he doesn't listen to you, then what do? You bring along one or two more mediators to listen, like spiritual judges listening to the whole problem. If that person still refuses to listen, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to some of the elders in the church, treat him as you would a pagan or tax collector. Now, how did Jesus treat the pagans and the tax collectors? He loved them regardless. He forgave them regardless of whether or not they understood how they sinned. He loved them anyway. Right? So the point here tonight is this. If somebody says or does something to upset you, and you try to talk to them, you bring two others along, you bring it to the church, to the elders, they still don't get it. They're like, man, I didn't offend you. Are you kidding me? You're kidding me. What do? You forgive them anyhow, right? Why? Because forgiveness is not based on feeling. Forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling, right? You agree with that tonight? It's a choice and not a feeling. Now, Jesus was able to forgive anyone. He was God. He was perfect. For us as human beings, it's easier said than done to remove feelings of anger or unforgiveness towards those who have deeply wounded us. What is a good test on yourself to gauge whether or not you have really forgiven someone? What is a good test to be done? You might want to listen to this tonight. If somebody deeply wounded you as a child, in something they said or did to you, or maybe in a marriage or some other relationship, they really wounded you on the inside a month ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and you're thinking to yourself, I want to check myself. Have I really forgiven this person? What's a good check? What's a good test? Test is this. When you think back to that person or the situation, the offense that they committed against you, do the same feelings arise today, feelings of bitterness that arose when they committed the offense against you 5 or 10 years ago? If those same feelings of bitterness and unforgiveness are there when you think about the person or their offense, as the feelings were there 5 or 10 years ago when he offended you, then guess what? Maybe you haven't really released the person. You agree with that tonight? You probably really haven't released that person. But if when you think back to that person or the offense they committed against you, and it's like you're free on the inside, there's no feelings of bitterness or unforgiveness, that's a good gauge, I would think, that maybe you have forgiven them. You've released them. Amen? Amen. You agree with that tonight?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. You know, in verse 18, Jesus says this in context. I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You may not have heard it this way before, but this is it. I think. It's my interpretation. The forgiveness you loose towards others here on this earth will be the forgiveness that heaven looses toward you. It's what we said just earlier, right? If we forgive others, God will forgive us. The forgiveness we loose towards others on this earth will be the forgiveness, the mercy that heaven looses toward us. Amen?
Amen.
Agree with that tonight?
Yeah.
All right. But how do we uproot these feelings of anger, animosity, and unforgiveness? How many here, when they think about something bad that somebody did to them, still get angry sometimes? If you think back to a situation and maybe some of those same feelings are there, does anybody here in the house struggle with that tonight? Or am I the only one? Anybody in the house struggle with feelings of maybe anger, or maybe unforgiveness, or maybe some bitterness concerning something bad that somebody did to you? I think we all deal with it as imperfect human beings, right? Make sense? How do we uproot these feelings of unforgiveness? Number one, prayer. Prayer. What does Jesus say in the same passage of Matthew 18, verse 19 and 20? It says, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. He's talking about, and then he says, where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Maybe two or three coming together in the name of Jesus to pray about a situation. How many have heard that prayer changes things? Prayer changes things. Prayer softens hard hearts. And you may be dealing with some unforgiveness tonight and feelings of it. Start praying to God in English. Say, God, you know what? I'm struggling in this area. This person has talked down on me. They talked against me. They lied about me. They did this bad thing to me. And I just can't seem to uproot this feeling of unforgiveness, these feelings of bitterness. God, help me. And what does the Word of God say? That God gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. So when you humble yourself before God and say, God, I can't do it on my own. I can't forgive this person on my own. God steps in and says, I'll give you the grace and the strength to forgive them. Amen? His grace is His strength. So praying, and praying, if you could, in the Spirit. How many have heard of the heavenly prayer language? Speaking in tongues, which is a major evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. Paul the Apostle writes about praying in this heavenly tongue. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. And this is what it says. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. And you know what? Tonight you may not have received this gift of speaking in tongues, and tonight you can. So when we have the altar call, come forward. He who speaks in a tongue in his own private devotional times with God edifies himself. What does it mean to be edified? Edified means to be built up and strengthened on the inside. So when you feel weak in yourself and you can't seem to uproot that feeling of unforgiveness, that feeling of anger, that feeling of bitterness, start to pray in the Spirit. And God will edify you. He will strengthen you on the inside to be able to forgive your offender. Make sense tonight? Does that make sense? I can attest to it in my own life. When I'm feeling weak spiritually, when I'm feeling down, I just start to pray in tongues to God. It's my heavenly prayer language. And it's like He supernaturally builds me up on the inside. He gives me supernatural strength. If He can do it for me, He can do it for you. If He can do it for me, He can do it for you. Somebody once says, it seems that God does nothing except someone prays. It seems that God can do nothing except someone prays. Could we say that maybe it seems that feelings of unforgiveness cannot be uprooted except you begin to pray about the situation to God? If not in tongues, in English. God understands. He understands all languages. But start praying to God to give you supernatural grace and strength. God, I want to get these roots of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness out of the soil of my heart and throw them back to where they belong, which is hell. God, give me the strength. Praying, number one. Number two. What's number two? Praying the Word of God over your life. Praying the Word of God over your life. The Word of God says in Proverbs 23, I believe it's verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The words you speak over your life will condition your thoughts. And the thoughts that you think will influence your actions. So why not start speaking His words, God's words, these words, the Scriptures over your life, and let them condition your thoughts. Start speaking the Word of God over your life and let it influence the way you think. And the way you think will influence the way you act toward others, which should be walking in a spirit of forgiveness. So some of the words you could speak over yourself is this. The Word of God says that just as God in Christ forgave me, I forgive my offenders. Satan, you've got no authority over my life in Jesus' name. I'm a forgiver 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Word of God says it, that I must forgive my offender if God is to forgive me. Guess who plants and keeps bringing back that feeling of unforgiveness toward you? A lot of times it's Satan. Keeps bringing it back to you over and over and over again. Let me turn here and see if I could find this. I believe it's in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, actually, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Writing to the Corinthians. If you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not aware. We are not unaware of his schemes. One of Satan's schemes is to keep bringing up those feelings of bitterness and unforgiveness on the inside of you. He's the author of that. It's his plan. It's his strategy. And how do you defeat Satan? By pulling out your sword and just start swinging at him by speaking the Word of God over your mind. Amen? Number three, how to uproot these feelings of unforgiveness. Number three, stop talking about your offender and the offense he committed against you. You know, the things we talk about and think about are the things that become strong on the inside of us. It's really true. Put it this way. If you feed your feelings of unforgiveness by talking about it, you starve your love walk. But if you starve your feelings of bitterness, then you feed your love walk. Let me say that again tonight. If you feed your feelings of unforgiveness by continually talking about them, then you're starving your love walk toward others. You can't forgive. But if you starve your feelings of bitterness and unforgiveness, then you feed your love walk in relation to others. Does that make sense tonight to you? You've got to starve your feelings of bitterness. How do you starve those feelings of unforgiveness and bitterness? Replace them with God conversations. And I'm at fault here. Last night, somebody came over to my house, a friend of mine. And a certain person, I'm not going to give you any details, but about a month and a half, 2 months ago, really, really wounded me. It was kind of a professional relationship. He said some things, attacked my character, and man, I was wounded deep. And this friend who came over last night happened to be there when this happened. He was a witness, and there was somebody else also who was a witness. This person just attacked me. And I just responded with a gentle answer like the Bible says to do. And anyway, so those feelings of unforgiveness towards that person kind of, they left me. They kind of disappeared in a sense over the last 2 months. But last night, this friend comes over to my house. And he's like, for some strange reason, he just brings it up. Says, remember that guy and what he said to you about a month and a half or two ago? And we just started talking, and I started talking about him and started talking about the offense. And it was like I was feeding these feelings of unforgiveness. And I was like, God, I'm sorry for doing this. I was feeding the feelings of bitterness when I should have been starving them. And guys, if it happened to me, it can happen to any one of us. That if you start thinking and talking about your offender or an offense you committed in the past, and you talk about it with somebody. You know, we've all heard misery loves company. Likewise, unforgiveness and bitterness loves company. You start talking to somebody, and you talk back and forth and back and forth. You start feeding those ugly feelings of resentment, anger, animosity. And your love walk is starved. It begins to diminish and die. So what do? Replace those conversations with God conversations. Positive conversations. God is good all the time, friend. He's doing great things in my life. He's provided. He healed my body. He healed my loved one. I'm believing God in faith for this miracle. I'm believing God to take me from this level to this level. Start talking about the Word of God. Start discussing the Word of God. Start talking about positive things, because what you talk about will influence what you think about. And how many here want to think about God 24/7 if you could? Well, then start talking about God when you're with somebody else and not about the offenses and the hurts that somebody else committed against you. Well, we've all heard it said, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Replace your idle and your empty time with productive activity, with positive words, talking and thinking about the Word of God. I was talking to a friend today. I was like, just talking to him. I said, you know what? I struggle with these feelings of unforgiveness sometimes. And I see certain people that bring up memories of the past, of things they've done to me, wrong things, hurtful things, wounds they've put into me. And I said to him, how do we overcome these feelings of unforgiveness? You have any suggestions? It's a friend of mine. He's like, you know what? A good suggestion would be just to go on to bigger things. Just leave those little things behind and reach toward your goals. Another way to start uprooting feelings of unforgiveness is setting goals in your life. I want to be out of this place by such and such a date. I want an apartment by this date. I'll be in a house by this date. I'm getting this education to get a better job. I'm going to increase in my career. I'm going to be at this hourly rate by this date. You know, I'm going to do something for the kingdom of God. I'm going to start studying the Word of God. I want to become a minister of God's Word. Start setting these goals. And as you set these goals and work toward them, then your time is occupied with productive activity. Amen? You don't have time anymore to think about your offender and his offenses. And what you don't think about, basically, over time, disappears out of your life. It's uprooted from your heart. You agree with that tonight? How to uproot these feelings of unforgiveness and release your offender. Number one, pray, right? Pray in the Spirit. And as you pray in the Spirit, you'll be strengthened on the inside. Number two, do what? Speak the what? Word. Speak the Word of God over your life. Let it condition and influence your thoughts. And then your thoughts will influence your actions. And your action should be to walk in the Spirit of forgiveness. And number three, do what? Don't talk about your offender and the offense. Talk about positive things. Talk about God things. Instead. And number four, occupy your empty time with productive activity toward attaining a productive, God-given goal. You agree with that tonight? So how many in this room tonight are going to try to start practicing that in your life? Uprooting those feelings of unforgiveness and bitterness on the inside. And I always pray, God, give me strength in this area. Because guys, ultimately, our eternal salvation is dependent upon forgiving our offenders. Just as God in Christ will forgive us if we forgive others. Jesus himself said it in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6.